This episode of AetherStream is brought to you by Aetherflow Media. We would not be able to create content like this without the support of our amazing patrons.
Welcome back to AetherStream. Today we're going to be doing something a little bit different, but joining us today we have Croatoan.
Hello.
Dylan Thorne.
Hello.
And your regular Derplander here, Tilp. So yes. So like I said, we're going to try something a little different. We're going to go over the live letter, though by the time this actually goes up, might be a little while, but it's still stuff that's coming out here in December. So yes. This is the live letter 60, if I'm right?
Yep.
Whew. By the way, I just want to like ask real quick. How are you guys enjoying the 5.35 content? I had to think about that.
I'm actually enjoying it quite a bit. I think the new the Southern Front is a huge improvement over Eureka. Eureka was an endless grind, and it was one that I felt like I had to do in order to get the gear and stuff like that, especially the dieable artifact gear. However, doing the Southern Front, I really enjoy it. It's got like a lot of good, I think, story content. It feels like Warfront. It makes sense in terms of the story rather than, and I'm sorry, I hate to, you know, be mean to Eureka, but the story just seemed kind of like just pasted on there, whereas the story for Baja actually makes a lot more sense, and it's really compelling. The raid at the end of it also, the Castrum is really fun. Having played like WoW way back when, it reminded me a lot of the WoW style raids, and I kind of actually enjoyed that. It beat the pants off of a Castrum Meridianum, and it really felt like I was actually raiding a Castrum. So,
unlike that,
but yeah,
dungeon.
unlike
the dungeon, the three. It's like what, three different dungeons that we had that we were raiding, but they weren't really raiding.
Yeah. No, that's kind of the thing. Is there's just. I've really enjoyed the past couple of patches because you really kind of see a direction that they're going, not only in terms of story and the way that they're, you know, presenting the story, but also the content that they're offering. And it's definitely a quality over quantity kind of feel to it, where maybe you don't get like, you know, three dungeons every patch. But what you do get is really, really high quality, and you enjoy running it more. So that being said, you know, at the end of any patch cycle, you're kind of like, oh, when's the next patch coming out? I need more. But no, I mean, everything's been really good with that.
That's good.
I also like the fact that in the Warfront, you can't de-level.
Yes.
You can lose metal for dying, but you cannot de-level. And that right there, I'm like, so much better than Eureka. So much. Especially if you met the Red Chocobo yet.
I have not came to the Red Choctober yet, so.
Yeah.
I've heard of it, but I have not come to it.
So. Yep. I've seen things.
War stories for another time.
Yep.
Croa, how about you? Are you enjoying the content currently?
Yeah, I've been. I got to run it when it first dropped and was getting invested into that. Mainly just enjoying the story quality as always. Getting invested into the new setting, the context behind it and everything. Documenting stuff now. I've been trying to actually like gather lore information and present in a format that actually is easy to follow. So I've been doing a lot of reading on it and the background and stuff and learning some pretty cool things. was super excited to find out that so the new hairstyle, even though it's very specific aesthetic, so I can understand it might not be everyone's cup of tea, but it's actually a reference to Tactics Ogre, so I thought that was really cool. Like when I found out that it's a direct reference to a character from Tactics Ogre, I get excited with all those references to that series. The Ogre series is really cool. So when I see those, I get super hyped. But other than that, it's just like, shared sentiments across the board. I think the intent behind it's funny because it's like, as far as I was able to follow, right, Eureka was designed to address what seemed at the time a large amount of people who had like they wanted the nostalgia of Final Fantasy XI, but I guess I got misinterpreted somehow, and that's why like Eureka just flopped so bad, because it was addressing a very specific group of people and that wasn't the entire community. And Boss has definitely been like adapted to the community. At least it's been taken. It took all the good stuff out of Eureka and put it into place. So that's really nice. And then, Yasumi Matsuno is helping write it. So, I mean, Matsuno is brilliant. So I'm not mad there at all. So
very nice. It's like, I would say share my experiences, but I have just begun my experiences, so I'm late to the party again, guys. I'm sorry. But yeah, let's actually get into this. I would say 5.4, but they kind of talked about some other stuff too. But yeah, the live letter 60. When was that broadcast?
It was last Friday.
I think it was October 9th, yeah.
Yep, October 9th. Damn.
Wait, okay, never mind. It was two Fridays ago. What?
Yeah.
Time has fly. It really does fly.
I can't keep up with count.
I know.
It's okay. So they talked a little bit about the Bajon Front. I probably just said that wrong. I'm sorry. And we talked a little bit about it ourselves, but not too much there. I know we're going to do a little more in-depth type of chat on that later. Resistance weapons, steel tools, which I'm kind of excited for because, crafting. Mm-hmm. Dabbing in that a lot. Though here is one thing that kind of caught me off guard was the community finder on the lodestone. And like, don't get me wrong, it's a neat idea, but like, how would they go about doing that?
No, it's all so the way it's working is that you basically the lodestone's advertising your free company. That's what's going on right now. And if you use the system to advertise your free company, you actually get a reward for it. It's like,
okay,
999 fireworks that you can share.
Okay, fireworks.
Yeah.
But, I'm not sure if that's a reward.
I mean, a reward or a punishment.
I'm sorry. Kind of going back to the Southern Front for a minute. After getting like 9,999 Indigo stars, just like fireworks.
Okay, so it's not just me on those. Good.
No, it's everyone. Okay. Anyway, sorry. Please continue.
Yeah, I'm not sure why fireworks drop in. Discovery or the exploration content. Since Eureka, I was just like, why is this a thing? But I mean, I don't mind collecting fireworks. My thing is like, make it make sense, I guess.
Yeah,
but, I think the thing specifically in this instance is it's not just fireworks. It's specifically Indigo stars.
I will say I do appreciate as far as inventory control that they only make it one thing instead of like, what, the 10 different kinds that you used to get in Eureka?
Because
ruin my inventory. I couldn't keep up with it. So thank you for making it just one. But why the Indigo Star? Like, what? What does that do? What is that? Is that
a reference? I feel like that there's a deeper meaning to it. I feel like that there's gonna be
no. That's not, and like I'm actually is this there's a story to this because yeah. Like I mean I don't know if it was like the cherry petals, those are great. I'd spam those all day, or like I don't know the sparklers, but what? Why the indigo star? What did what what does that mean? What does it mean?
Why are we here? Only thing I could think of is like Garibania's flags are kind of that purple hue, so maybe
I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense.
Maybe.
I mean that's kind of the only thing I could think of.
And that's like I think that one in particular was a 1.0 reward or something, I think, because it mentioned something about Hurstmill. And I was just like, what? Like, I don't remember any events being in Hurstmill at all. So that's why I'm like, it's just random.
it's indigo. It's a star. Enjoy.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But no, like, I completely agree. At least it's one thing. But then at the same time, we had the Doan Enclave. So, like, taking all those extra bits and so on there.
I did that all the time with Eureka's the platinum pieces and stuff like that, getting money from that, so
and that's how I was doing it with my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so announcements, like FanFest has been canceled all across the world. They're gonna do
sad
a digital
face.
One. Yeah, very sad face, like,
but
I was
understandable it. Very understandable.
Yep, very understandable, especially since my town's now getting a second wave because, you know, my town's just a bunch of people.
Apparently, apparently we're in the third wave now, and I'm just like, I'm tired.
Yeah, it is, it's rough. It's, I have to honestly say, and any other time if somebody said this, you'd probably get a response of, I don't know if this is healthy. A healthy response, but right now it's okay. Thank God for online gaming.
Right?
If it was, I did not have online gaming, I would probably lose my mind. I really would.
Yeah, it still keeps me. Yeah.
I mean, it is for, I think, for a lot of people. I mean, you know, stereotypically, gamers aren't known necessarily for being really social in real life anyways, stereotypically. But, yeah, no, I think it's the large majority of my social contact right now is through online gaming. So.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, so they're going to try to do a digital 14-hour broadcast for this event, and they said around February, and it's going to be just information. More than likely, it's going to be the next expansion because we're going to be coming into that time of year.
Which, and then, we think it's going to be Forspoken.
Yeah, like what was that trademark that you came across?
Yeah, the Square Enix trademarked the name Forspoken, which. For the past couple of years, whenever that gets announced or whenever someone catches on to that, 100% they've been correct. It's just really funny because I just remember when Shadowbringers was announced and everyone thought it was a joke. They were like, that's such a bad title or something. And then it came out and then now everyone loves it. So it was just funny. It's just like historically just seeing the transition from all that, like, that can't be the real expansion title. What? And then, oh, it's such a great expansion title. But, so we're going to, yeah. No idea what Forspoken is in reference to. Yeah, no context at all. So just a really semi-cool sounding title that we'll see what that's all about.
I'm wanting to think, and maybe I'm getting the wrong game here, but wasn't Spoken, didn't that have something to do with, like, the Beast Tribes?
Spoken is in reference to the quote civilized races. In the beginning they documented it as five, and then now it's eight, I guess, because they're still trying to It's really funny how in game they're still trying to process their own just awareness of each other. Because for a while it was just, you know, the first five, and then the Ara came to the picture, and they were like, "Who that?" Still, and they're dealing with that right now, and then now they got Viera and Hrothgar, and Hrothgar just breaks the mold for all their expectations, because to them a Hrothgar is technically, you know, more beast tribe than anything, and so they're really confused. But it's supposed to refer to quote unquote civilized races, so I don't know if it does. Oh, sorry.
Oh no, go ahead and finish yours real quick.
If it does tie in, I wonder if it has something to do with that super random reference that Koji Fox made that I still need an answer for ages ago, when he pointed to this tiny little dot on the map and he named it and gave lore for it, and that was it, and that was the last time he ever brought it up, and I'm needing him to explain why he did that, because that was like, hello, you can't just point to a random tiny dot on the map and then never bring it up again.
Like on the big map?
Yeah, it was during a panel when he was going over, I think, yeah, he was showing off the map and he was talking about like localization and stuff. And he points to this tiny little smidget. Like, I mean, you barely can see it if you're not looking. And he names it. He named it and then said that this is, according to Rogadin legend, this is where all the races originated. And that was the only time he brought it up, and I haven't heard him say anything about it since. So, if...
That would be my guess, yeah.
If spoken is in reference to the races, that's the only thing that's coming to my mind, is there is an island that the races are supposed to originate from, and... So if that, yeah, we'll see. I'm definitely curious, because it's in the general direction. Everyone's suspecting Charlayan as the next spot. That island's in that general direction, so we'll see what happens.
So yeah, that would make sense.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just need an answer. I've been waiting for years.
Yeah, I know back. What was it? I think Heavensward, when they were about to announce Stormblood, they're like, "Oh yeah, we'll talk about maybe going to Gardelamal in like maybe 6.0 plus." And it's like, huh? But if this is going the way that you're thinking, that would actually be kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, we really, for the most part, we're still trying to figure out, because so, you know, 5.4 is the new story. That's where it's all going to start. They've finished Shadowbringers. So now, whatever's going to lead to the next expansion, we'll get the most answers for that in patch 5.4. Before that, we don't have anything. Like, aside from the final cutscene of 5.3, which was super, super vague, that's all we got. So it's like, it'll be easier to start predicting in 5.4, like once we play that and see what's going on and what they tell us, it'll make a lot more sense. But for now, it's just like, you know, waiting and seeing what happens.
Okay. So I just sent a picture of the map because, you know, I'm that kind of a nerd, and I got the collector's edition, got the map. Is it right there? Because there's the Thervanian continent right there. Is it the island just west of that, between us and Davian?
So it's, let me see, let me grab it real quick. So if you look, it's on Eorzea's side. So you got the continent of Eorzea, right?
Yeah.
And if you, I believe the island he pointed out, so where, you know, where the Charlayan, where Charlayan is at on the map, right off the coast of that, like under the dragon's foot, there's a little island smidge.
Okay.
Yeah, he zoomed in on that and was like, yeah, the Rogan believe that's where everyone came from. They originated from that island. And I'm like, huh? And then he never brought it up again. And I'm like, huh? Like, hello? Like, can you talk about that more? Like,
What is that? Like, what do you mean? Like,
and nothing. Nothing hasn't been brought up since. I don't know. I want answers. Like, and it bugs me so much. Like, he just randomly said, it's like, I think he called it Noggin or something like that, or Naggin. Named the island, just went off and left it, and never came back to that topic again. And that's in reference, so if Forspoken have anything to do with the Spoken, I mean, the island that all the races were supposed to originate from would be a really curious place to visit. Or if that has anything, it's like where we all came from kind of thing. Now that we know, everything from Shadowbringers, how that ties in and stuff, finding how it affects history more and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, we'll have to talk about that.
There's a lot of speculation. I can speculate for days, but it's like, I just want answers.
Wait, was this the one way back in like 2014?
Which one?
The panel.
I think it was definitely after Stormblood, because he was going over the
okay,
how they named Doma and all that, the different ways they named with like how Yangsha is supposed to sound like Pinyin Chinese and stuff. It was like that whole panel.
Oh, okay.
One of my favorite ones. I tend to rewatch it because it's cool.
If you can you link that to me later? Because that I would love to like look into that.
Oh yeah, and, of course. I think it was PAX.
After 5.4, we can maybe see if that's see the if way that we're going.
Yeah, if we actually get to visit that. I was like, I mean, and don't get me wrong, Final Fantasy is really big on the world building, where they do write a lot of stories for stuff they don't really get to show off a lot of, which is, I think, is cool, but at the same time, it's like, I mean, that was really specific reference, so I'm like, But we'll see.
Suspicious.
Don't be suspicious.
Yeah. 5.4 will give us a lot more like directive answers of like where we're going.
So with that said, 5.4's title is, and I do apologize for the dogs running in the background, is called Futures Rewritten. Because we already know we deflected from the timeline that we were originally a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're continuing down a new path, I guess, is what we're going to say.
Yeah.
And, of course, main scenario will continue from where we left off in the Reflections of in Crystal, even though we're done with Shadowbringers, so we're just back on the source, and we're going to continue on where we left off.
Yeah, that last part.
Obviously, new level dungeon. This one's called Matoya's...
The relict. Yeah.
Yeah, the relict. I'm kind of curious because, first thing that comes to my mind is anti-tower, just hiding in the pocket dimension behind Matoya's place.
Mm-mm.
It's like, oh yeah, she's back there. So I'm kind of curious of where this is and if this is going to, obviously reflect on Yshtola in any way or shape or form, since, Matoya's master and her taking on the hattle of Matoya in the first.
Yeah, they posted a picture of it, and it's every book lover's dream.
Oh, yeah, literally. The book stairways, too.
The book stairways.
There's so many books, so.
Are you sure that's not your house, Crow?
I have plenty of books, but definitely not that. But that would be great. I mean, I would never leave my place, but it's like I'm reading. Don't tell me to go outside.
It would be, and I'm looking at the image, and it's like Crow says, it's just like a cavern that's like part cavern, part light. Library with like in one part of it looks like almost an igloo built out of books. It's half open, but like that is interesting. And the first thing that comes to my mind is, what if they quote unquote shrink us and we go into that little teapot thing? If that's not a boss,
it's probably a
teapot.
It's probably I thought it was a heater, to be honest, but I don't know.
I thought it was a stove.
It's got acidic, but no idea what it is.
Yeah. Little witch's hat pipes going out.
Yeah.
I like it, actually. I am actually kind of curious now. Like, how is it going to be, like, full dungeon, or is it going to be, like, a dungeon and then a dungeon within a dungeon? No, I'm throwing nonsense out there. I'm sorry, guys.
No, you're good. I mean, we don't have any context, so it could really be... Like the funny thing is, if you say stuff like that, and then it turns out being right, you know, like, then you get to be like, it was me, I did it, you know, so...
I knew it before everyone else!
They heard this from me!
They heard it from me first!
So...
I would say, like, the best way I could describe what I was trying to say is, like, start off real size, and then they shrink you down, and you kind of go through, which I think they've done that in a way, but...
Have we done that? I can't remember.
I thought we did. I could be just imagining things, like always. So we get more of the weapons fight, and this time we get introduced to the Emerald weapon. Which, I have not looked at the weapons mounts. Like, are they still dragons?
Yes. Because what they usually do is they have, like, a theme for... that ties to the entire expansion overall. Instead of, like they don't usually differentiate between the different types. It's just what... What's funny is that I don't know, it breaks my brain a little bit because it's divided between two different shards, and like at the beginning I thought Gwibbers only were on the first, and then all of a sudden there's a Gwibber on the source, and I'm just like, my head, stop. Like, I can't. And the lore is really interesting, but yeah, I think the theme of Shadowbringers in general is just the dragon mounts, and then they do like one theme per expansion. So
okay, now I'm trying to think of how Emerald was portrayed in Final Fantasy VII, and that it's just not coming to me because I think it was Sapphire that was underneath the water, and I think Emerald was just like randomly about. You know,
No. I think Emerald was underwater.
Yeah,
one of them Emerald's was already underwater. Destroyed. And I think that was Sapphire. Was actually had already been destroyed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, and then Ruby was in the desert over by the Gold Saucer. Was it Diamond that was flying around randomly? Like when you were in your airship, you could accidentally run into it, and he would. You.
Those weapons.
You can see, you can tell that I grew up with Seven. Played it a lot.
I wish I got complete Seven. Well, I mean, I should probably get the remake at some point, but.
I was gonna say, you could probably get, like, the classic Seven for a computer, or, well, probably even your cell phone.
You can get for, your Switch, your phone.
I played Final Fantasy IX on my phone the other day, and it was actually kind of fun, but I was just like, wow, this is how far we've come.
Mm.
This used to be on a computer, and now it's in my pockets. So, yeah, I'm kind of curious what other weapons they're going to have us run into. Because, like, Emerald. Now that I know that Emerald is the sea one, I think we're gonna go underwater for a fight. They're gonna attack by sea.
We might that would be really cool if they reference those elements.
Mm-hmm.
That would be actually pretty cool. And so we've done Ruby. And so if they follow the theme of 7, then yeah, we'll do an underwater one and then we'll do an air one.
Which I think, if I remember right, you were saying diamond, but I was thinking like there wasn't there another one?
Ultima.
Like, but we already had Ultima weapon.
Yeah.
I was thinking
Ultima,
like,
I think is the one that may have actually been the fly-in one. Because I think that was the one that you had to beat to get Cloud's ultimate weapon, maybe? I don't know.
Okay. Like, I don't want to say that I remember an Omega weapon in 7, but I do remember an Omega weapon in other Final Fantasy installments.
Yeah, Omega is in 7, but it's technically in Dirge of Severus.
Oh, okay. And I never got to do that. For shame on me. Well, shoot.
Yeah, so they have, let's see, they got Sapphire weapon, Ultimate weapon, Diamond weapon, Ruby weapon, Emerald, Jade, Omega, and Chaos. So,
ooh, Chaos. Interesting. But yeah, we'll see. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I'm just curious to see how they're gonna the 14 version of it. I like what I've seen so far as far as the story. It makes a lot of sense. Because, I mean, Omega Weapon inspired the Ultima Weapon, and then Ultima Weapon inspired these other weapons. So, which is pretty cool.
I think one thing that was interesting about the story in regards to that was, like, the exchange between Gaius and, I can't remember his name, but the one...
The Elizabeth. The Duskwhite.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was intense.
In the previous patch, like I actually thought like the Duskwhite was going to be a lot more sinister. But then once they explained everything in that whole story section in the most recent patch, I was like, oh, wow, that is actually really complex and deep there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So.
Hmm.
But yeah. What other things do we have to look forward to in 5.4?
Eden Raids.
Eden Raid, yes. We finally get to conclude that. I'm actually really excited to see how Rin gets on her own.
Yeah.
Like, it is a requirement now that you have to have the 5.3 in order to finish off the last tier. So, and we kind of speculated that with the clues that we were getting towards the end of the 5.2 Eden Raid quest.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yep, you need to back up because, you know, I might not be here. And it's like, well, he's not here anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, you must actually...
I want Rin to just pull out that gunblade and just be like, Oracle that. Light powers with the gunblade or something in the middle of one of those. Like during, not, I don't know, just one of the floors, you're just doing your thing and you're being overwhelmed and then she shows up with a gunblade. I just want to see that.
Just like how we had Gaia come in and smash.
Yes. Like that level of intensity, but with the gunblade and Rin just being awesome. Like that would be just wonderful.
Is she not awesome enough as a ninja?
No, she's already awesome. So I'm saying that it would work really well. And then it would be just like, I don't know, maybe a Rin Gaia moment where they team up and then powers of light and darkness like become something else. I don't know. Like, I'm excited to see what Nomura has in store for us. Because, yes. I mean, it's Nomura. Nomura is the mind breaker already in most of his work, so.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta say, though, one thing with that. Any, like, job or class changes with Rin and Gaia in the next part of the raid, they need to be really careful with it, because one of the things that they have been dropping recently, I know everybody's really super excited for it, like, whenever they talk about the expansion in February, all of the possible job hints. It's like, freaking job hints everywhere.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not just like, oh, it's definitely going to be these two. It's like, no, we have like now, I think, 4 different ones. You know, there's the chemist. There is
B. Beastmaster,
Necromancer.
Yep.
What was it that you said?
The Berserker.
Berserker. Yeah, so it's kind of one of those things, like, I don't know. I'm kind of thinking that they're just throwing all these different hints out there to distract.
Yeah, right.
Another Croatoan's red herring hunt.
Mm-hmm. Although, if we don't get...
I'm not good at that, because Yoshida is so good at tricking me.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. We'll figure it out as a team. Yeah.
I mean, we're going to have a team pool. Whoever wins gets, like, I don't know. Gets a pizza.
Hey, pizza's delicious.
I'll order a pizza for whoever was closest. There. Yep. You guys heard it here.
All right. So wait, this is a pizza for job predictions? Is that what?
Pizza for job. Everybody
prediction. Gets to make a different prediction.
I'm about to make an Excel sheet. No, I'm just kidding.
we'll set our predictions on the next episode, but this right here is my proof that I will buy a pizza for whoever gets it the closest.
Okay.
All right. So, and then February is when we'll find out. So we'll see.
This is documented.
I know it's documented. We may not.
Do you think we'll actually find out in February? Because we'll find out one of them.
I mean, that's when they do. That's when they're planning the whole digital release thing. It's supposed to be in February, so
we're gonna have to have a whole spreadsheet for like a bunch of different predictions, like, you know, where are we going?
Right.
Can we talk about a 6.0 boing bingo sheet?
Yes. Wow.
That's gonna be such a big day.
I want to do this.
I'm sitting there, I'm thinking about it, right? As I'm thinking about it, right? Because for the past literally the entire length of this game, they've been able to divvy up all the announcements between three different days, but now they're going to have to be able. Now they're going to have to take all of that and do it all at once online. Mm-hmm. That's going to be such a big day.
Yep.
Of things.
You think they're only going to do a single day,
or maybe a couple days? I'm not sure. It's just like I've never participated in an online con before, so I don't know how that would work out.
I think it's going to probably be like. I mean, if you've ever seen like some of the BlizzCon, the online stuff there, where I think they have like different channels and stuff like that, and they still do it over the course of a couple of days. So I imagine they might do that, where like, you know,
that makes sense.
I mean, so, yeah.
So it'd be kind of like their 24-hour stream, where they did a live letter, then they did a 24-hour stream, and then they had like a bunch of information. Like, I can see them doing that in a way.
Yeah.
But as Dylan was saying, it's probably going to be over like a course of a 2 day, you know, on the weekend, starting with Friday, Saturday.
Yeah. No, I imagine that. And I imagine it's probably going to be like a paid ticket, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, $15 or whatever.
Maybe. Maybe not. I guess we'll find out more.
Give me another amount.
I was going to say, yeah, like everybody's going to want the con package that you get, like you get the mount and the other things. I don't know.
And the minions.
Yeah. Every time I ride my motorbike through the air, because that makes total sense, I think about my time at
that motorbike was amazing in the beginning of Shadowbringers.
Because
the speed buff was just like, ha, I'm leaving everyone behind in the dust. And then...
Mm-hmm. No, it was wonderful. I loved it.
Something like that would be awesome. I don't mind paying for that kind of stuff, because I like those rewards. And then this... See, what I'm a little sad about is no swag bag this year, so...
Right?
I'm like, the bunch of random stuff I have in my house that's Final Fantasy themed, like the coasters and the...
I actually use my coaster. I have a Moogle coaster on my desk.
I have the magnet on my fridge. The little Namazu magnets on my fridge. Like people come and visit and ask me, they're like, "What is that?" I'm like, "Oh, whoa, I forgot that's there. I'm gonna explain what Namazu are now."
I want to say I have a Fat Cat coaster on my desk right now.
Nice.
Nice. I don't know. Maybe they will still do like a physical like grab bag kind of thing that they ship out. Who knows? I don't know.
Which would be cool. I mean, I get it's still within reason, but it's like,
yeah,
it's those things that you look forward to and then you're like,
it is. And it's one of those things that like, I mean, we're obviously not going to get a con next year, which is why we're doing the virtual one. The year after that, who knows? So, I mean, it's we may just be skipping a cycle as far as, like, you know, convention.
No.
And I don't know. I have faith in SE that they are going to do right by their fans.
Yeah.
In terms of the con. But so I was kind of just thinking that. So the 5.4 is coming out. When did they say? Like December?
December.
Yeah, early December.
So we roughly, like, as far as like the big patches is like every 2 to 3 months. So we're having the virtual con then in February, which means that there's probably going to be in 5.4 a lot of foreshadowing as far as what the nature of the expansion will be.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But I bet you they're going to split up the story. And we're going to get the first half of that story in 5.4. And then, like, the week after the virtual con, we're going to get the next part of it. And it's going to be kind of like what they did before Shadowbringers.
Yeah. Shadowbringers, that was, I mean, that got everyone real bad. Was it when 4.4 dropped and then everyone's hearing the voice?
Yeah. You know. I swear, if we start hearing voices again now.
I know, it's like, who else? Who else? What? Why? Stop summoning me. Like, get out of here.
Every time that happened, I was telling one of my friends, like, am I the only person who's hearing, like, Lady Gaga telephone?
Oh, wow.
Like, every time, it's like, dude, wide the gates. Busy. I'm on a battlefield. You should have called me earlier. Not right now.
Yeah.
Now is bad.
I haven't seen any artists get on the Crystal Exarch about that. She'd just be like, hey, man, that was not cool. Like, I almost died because of you.
I don't know. Ishtola kind of took him to task over that. It's like, do you realize what you've done?
Yeah, and I was watching that cutscene again, and I was just like, wow, he really did almost kill us on accident. Like,
oh, yeah. No, he did. I mean, the thing is at the end of the day, it's kind of like, okay, I get it, but
yeah, it's like, you kind of, well,
if Estinia wasn't there to save us, we'd probably be sitting on the end of
Xenos. Oh yeah, no, like, that's the thing, like, Elidibus was winning, quote, I mean, for the most part, I guess just by context alone, the fact that he could also res and stuff, and he also had the Echo. So it was just, like, a very bad time for us. And, yeah, that would have not ended well if Estinian didn't show up and save us. So, which is really interesting. I think, overall, and kind of off topic, but overall, the idea of us not being invincible is an interesting story development. Because for the most part, it's like, I guess it's assumed that we just can do everything and we're so good, but we really aren't. We actually can die, and we can actually, you know, like... And that one point, we were at that point. Like, we were super close to losing it. So it was like, ooh.
So one thing you brought up, I think earlier was, or actually, you know, it was outside of the podcast, was that the random appearance of Amarik in one of the screenshots.
Yes. That was
so that, you know, the thing is that kind of feeds into something else that I've been feeling. Is it just me, or is there, like, a lot of Ishgardian stuff
there in the game? There is a hell of a lot of Ishgardian stuff.
Oh, yeah, the Ishgardian Restoration, I mean, aside from being, like, one of the best ways to level your crafters and gatherers, aside from that, the story has been really impressive. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I cried. I cried when I played it, so... It was super nostalgic and very, very just like.
But we've gotten a lot of like Ishgardian themed gear. We have like the Neo Ishgardian gear. We have had also in different parts of the story a lot of references to Oso Azale.
Yes.
And what she's been able to do. And it's just a lot of kind of like, you know, just some of them have been really subtle, but callbacks to things that have happened. Especially in Heaven's Word, with people essentially being able to take on a primal.
Nope.
And exactly like what Xenos did. So I'm actually kind of wondering if I don't know, maybe Ishgard is going to be another, like, center again.
Like a different part of the region or something like that?
Maybe. I don't know. But I have a feeling that it's going to somehow play a big part of the story. And especially, like, you know, you're talking about with Aemric kind of showing up. We haven't seen anything from him in the longest time.
Aemric and the Vanu chief, which is, like, when was the last time we were actually needed in the Sea of Clouds? Like, that's just great. I'm curious about it.
Yeah.
Well, and there were so many things like that was very mysterious about certain parts of Dravania. Yeah, because there's all these floating islands. Also, for the longest time, the one thing I remember just like harping on one of my friends about is like there was a void arc flying around the sky, and apparently everybody missed it for the longest time.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and there's airship pirates, and there's so much apparently out there that we don't know about, especially in that region, that there's airship pirates. Also, as opposed to some of the other regions, you know, Ishgard seems really set up to be an airship heavy kind of region. Mm-hmm. And thinking back also to one of my favorite Final Fantasy games, which is Final Fantasy IX, one of my favorite cities in that game was Lindblom. And Ishgard has always kind of reminded me of that. Like, if you stand outside from, I think it's like Western Coerthus, before you're going in, if you look at it from the front side, it really does look a lot like Lindblom, even the part where they have this like big key-shaped kind of structure on the front, where for Lindblom and Final Fantasy IX, that was actually like this big, huge airship dock for some really high-tech airships. And we have like, you know, Sky Steel.
Yeah.
And all that kind of stuff. So I'm just wondering if we're going to do a lot more in the air.
That is a huge possibility.
If we're going to get company airships, like real airships.
Legit airships.
Not this, like, I don't know, control panel where you send your airship out that you don't get to ride. So... and they really seem to also lately be pushing the boundaries on multi-person mounts.
Yes.
There was that one that you flew. You don't actually get control of it, but there's like the mini airship that you fly out to Baja. And I'm like, yep, this is coming. We're going to get this as a mount.
That would make sense, especially with the carriage that now came out to like, what, 2 months ago, a month ago?
Yeah. Well, and especially like if we do with the whole weapon series, if we do end on whatever weapon it is that is in the sky, like if we have some sort of like airship battle with it, kind of like what we did with Bismarck. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That'd be really cool.
It'd be very, very, very cool.
Yeah. So other things coming up is job adjustments and changes. Obviously, Blue Mage is going to be bumped up to 70. So we're getting closer to Blue Mage hitting level cap. I'm kind of having a feeling that because I didn't talk to you guys about this, but I talked about it in one of my streams, how I felt like Blue Mage might end up matching up with the main job classes by the time we get into the next expansion.
They're going to make it normalize it.
Yeah, that's how I was feeling. And here we are hitting level 70.
It does kind of feel that way. Yeah. The whole limited job kind of system, it feels like a way to test out a job concept that they're not sure would play nice with the general system. Mm-hmm. Kind of like an active beta test almost in a way.
Yeah.
I know people have some feelings about that, but for something especially like as unique as Blue Mage, I can see why that would need to be a thing.
I mean, they explained the whole thing with Blue Mage during FanFest, and then people still got mad, and it's just like, and they explained it. They said why they couldn't do it. They said they wanted the job in there, but they didn't want to ruin the aesthetic, and using death during a raid just doesn't make sense. Like, why? They were trying to provide a new method of keeping the original idea while making it fair to the game. Mm-hmm. And I get it from like the objective standpoint, how they explained it. But yeah, I mean, if they let you bring down to normal like jobs and classes and stuff, if anything, just like locking some of those job or those spells so they don't break the balance, because some of the spells work really well in dungeons. I've messed around with it. I've mainly just done it for the lore, but no, it's got some. We'll see. I mean, they've been working on it for a while, so.
I could see it being also a good test case for a lot of job concepts, such as like a chemist healer.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think about like how chemists has worked in past games, past Final Fantasy titles, you're taking two items and you're mixing them together. So it's a little bit like Blue Mage in the fact that you have to essentially acquire these recipes. And you know, it's sometimes RNG, so. I don't know. And I said the same thing with, you know, like I know one that people are thinking that's going to be a limited job is Beastmaster, so.
Yeah, and Koji made reference to that at FanFest. He said that if Blue Mage does well, they'll be able to use that for featured classes that they need to like test stuff out on and make sure it fits in the system. Because he mentioned Beastmaster and Puppeteer being options, but we shall see.
Indeedy.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot more that we could explore, but I think with like half the stuff that is there, we'll probably need like more information, like the Unreal Trials, the treasure hunts, and other subtle updates that are coming out. I think we'll wait until the 5.4 comes out or the next live letter and talk about that then. So,
I mean, the most important thing we should bring up, I think, is the explore mode.
Yeah. go ahead.
That is like G-Poser. Like the G-Poser's one. G-Poser's one.
That G-Poser's patch. Dream.
So, I mean, you get to go into the dungeon. You don't get kicked out. You get to go to every inch of that area and check it out. And you get the limit break. You ride your mounts. You get the limit break. I mean, you get to, and they let you put the dummy so you can use attack actions too. Like, I mean, that is content creator like paradise right there. So that's gonna be a lot of fun. No more. Which and you know, shout out to all the people that put that effort to get it. The instances when, you know, you had a certain amount of time to do it, or, you know, back in the day when people used to like, all right, I'm going to get this screenshot. Wait a second. And like, you know, put that work or the amount, the sheer amount of Ifrit hard mode.
A very good example is actually our media team, how they had to run dungeons of all the content just to get certain poses. Like,
mm-hmm.
Arya, if you're listening to this, we appreciate that. You're going to love this.
Yeah, no, this is like update. To everybody who put that effort to beat the system. They now don't have to, so it's nice.
Yeah, because like, God, I could just like see, I remember seeing them sitting in voice chat for almost 4 to 6 hours just for two dungeons. That's just to get a couple photos.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of friends who are like really into taking screenshots who are super excited about this.
So, but that's where we're going to have to end off for tonight, guys. I do apologize for the abrupt ending, but we are hitting our max time again. So,
hopefully, as always.
Yeah, as always. So hopefully we can do some more content here soon. Next thing we're probably going to talk about is going to be a very interesting one to look at, and we still have a bunch of ideas in the works, so stay tuned for those. But that's it for tonight, guys. Take it easy, and we wish you all a wonderful eve.
Bye!
Bye!
AetherStream is part of Aetherflow Media, a community-based project with a focus on Final Fantasy XIV. Aside from this podcast, we produce web content and our magazine, Aetherflow. And if you like what you see and hear, consider joining our Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/aetherflowmedia. All funds go towards providing you with the best possible content that we can create.